Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You're at the right place for the most practical, realistic, and current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us here on the air. Yes, Danny, we've got a lot to talk about. We are going through, here we are in the middle of, what is it, August, and making our way through the summer, the last month or so of summer. So if you have a question about your home, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us.
We make it very, very easy. You can send us an email right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask or pick up the phone and give us a ring anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That number is 800-946-4420. We always enjoy each and every week when we go through all the calls and the emails. Did get one here, Joe. I wanted to go ahead and share with everybody. It's from Johnny. He says, hi, I just watched the season 24, episode 13 television show called Front Porch Rehab. Just wanted to shoot you a reminder to call 811 before you start digging and have anything located, you know, for those underground utilities. He says, as a former locator, I have seen firsthand and witnessed damage to gas and electric lines when planting and such are removed. Due to time and erosion, utility lines aren't as deep as some people think. Also, plant roots tend to entangle the utility lines. Good advice from Johnny, one of our listeners, and that's very true. I mean, fortunately, on that particular project he was talking about, the homeowner knew exactly where everything the yard, and we didn't have to worry about that. But it is great. Anytime, even putting in a new fence post sometimes, it's a good idea to find out where those water lines are. It's a completely free service at 811.
Yeah, and that's a national number. No matter where you are, it's 811. I'd love to talk to Johnny. I can imagine what he's experienced with people not calling.
Oh, I know it.
And I actually, last year, we're having some tree work done and some excavation to control some drainage issues. And our electrical line is buried from the street to the house, which is common around here where I live in Western Connecticut, because there's so many trees, you're trying to eliminate the chance of a tree taking down a wire. So the line is buried. And I know it ran pretty close to where they were going to be digging this ditch. So I called 811 and they said, are you actually digging the ditch yourself? I said, no. And they said, well, then you have to have the person call who's actually digging. So just a heads up, and I assume that's true everywhere in the country, that if you want to have your electrical lines, your plumbing lines, or whatever discovered before digging, have the contractor, if you're having the contractor has to actually make that call.
Boy, that's well worth it. And all it takes several days for them to come out and put all the paint in the yard, and then after a couple of rains, it all disappears. Another thing we received through email is from a company called Neighbor.com. Did a little survey. Surveys are always kind of interesting. They surveyed 1,000 new or soon to be empty nesters. And Joe, you and I've talked about this. Which is, some people just have a great time when all the kids finally get out of the house.
Right. Yep.
Others have a pretty tough time. It's just too. I didn't like it myself. It just got too quiet, too quick. And I needed chaos in my house. So
take long. I mean, now you have the grandkids over there.
I know it exactly. But here's some of the stats that they threw out there. I thought it was kind of interesting. Empty nesters are eager to make a change within their home. The majority of empty nesters have made some form of renovation after a child left the home, 71% of those. And more than half started renovating within a year after their child moved away. I guess in some ways it'd be considered a little rude if you start renovating their bedroom before they move out.
Yeah, the child says, I'm going away to college, and you're like pushing them out the door. Here's your hat. What's your hurry? But yeah, and they also said, this survey said 90% of empty nesters reported their child left lasting damage on the house.
Oh.
Like 90%? What are these kids doing? I mean, I thought my son was pretty like aggressive in his bedroom, but I didn't see that much damage.
Probably the craziest thing I've seen of the thousands of houses I've been in is where two teenagers that were about the same age, boys, and they had moved into a brand new home. And the parents said, you know, pretty much fix it the way you want, do what you want to with it. Well, they had a penny fight on the wall, where you throw
what
pennies.
Is that?
You take pennies and you throw them real hard, and it sticks into the drywall.
Wow.
So they had approximately $75 worth of pennies embedded in this wall, and they were saying, you know, what can we do to fix it? And I was like, well, first, let me get a picture of this. I've never seen anything like this.
I've never heard
of it. And this could be some kind of new art movement, you know, that you...
I would sign those kids up for baseball. That's what I would do.
I know it. I know it. But that was, that was pretty bad. Hey, another thing on the survey here, that most empty nesters are looking to either make their children's room a space for guests or a place to work. Most parents turn their former rooms into guest rooms, 33%, or offices, 13%. That's not unusual, especially with all of the home offices that are being used right now.
Yeah, we did that exact thing when Kate, our daughter, moved out. We took her bedroom and Marla, my wife, turned it into her office, but we wanted to use it as a guest room as well. So we bought a day bed, which I wasn't really that familiar with, but it kind of looks like a couch, but it's a bed and has a trundle underneath. Mm-hmm. And the trundle slides out, which is just another single bed, slides out from underneath the main bed, and then it has spring-loaded frame that pops up. So it's perfectly level with the main bed. So you can make like a double bed, or you can roll it across the room, have two single beds. And it's a great use of space, and it's much more comfortable than one of those folding couch sofa beds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot more versatile. That's a good idea. Hey, here's another one I thought was pretty good. You know, with the growing list of upgrades to make and minimize any of the funds that it takes, a lot of empty nesters are doing the project themselves. Over half of empty nesters completed their project. 27% opted, well, like many people do, for a mixture of a little bit of do-it-yourself and then involving the contractor, while only 12% hired contractors for everything. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. And in fact, I was surprised that like 27% opted for both a mix of DIY and contract. I thought that would have been even higher. It's not 20% of the project they're doing. It's 25% even attempted it. Because usually there's always some part you can do yourself, even if it's just moving the furniture out of room or painting the walls, or, you know, if there's any demolition, obviously, you could do that, often do that yourself, as long as you're careful around electrical and plumbing. But when kids move out of the house, there's a period of like almost mourning and loss, and then, okay, what can we do with this space?
Yeah, I know it, but it was a little sad for me for a little while, but we got over it pretty well, especially when the grandkids start showing back up. But hey, another thing, you know, we've got greatest group of listeners in all the country that listen to today's Homeowner Radio and listen carefully, you know, and then they respond back with certain things. We have one caller on the Today's Homeowner Hotline that called in something in reference to something we talked about just a few weeks ago.
Danny, this is Dean. I just heard you talking about rats in an attic. A black light will make the urine jump out at you. Just a tip.
All right. Well, good. There you go.
Rat urine jumping out at you? That doesn't sound like very much fun.
We don't want that. But what it goes back to is a gentleman had called and discovered that there were a lot of rats in his attic. Not a pleasant thing at all. And he got rid of all of the rats. And then he wanted to see how much what he needed to do with the insulation where the rats had kind of been bedding in there. And pretty hard to denote if, you know, how widespread that is, because it could be just in a couple areas. You remove that, sanitize it well, go back with new insulation and keep the rats out. But in a situation that he's recommending here on this call is basically using one of the old-fashioned black lights, and it will show you just how much there is. You know, you can take that black light up there and just kind of move it around the different areas of the attic, and it can show you the areas that you do need to replace. Never would have thought of that one, Joe. I guess it's kind of all of these detective criminal shows that are out
That's
on TV now.
CSI, yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize, I guess you can still buy black lights. I'm not sure the last time I even saw one. I know you go to discos all the time, so maybe you see them. But I'm home reading. I can't go to discos anymore.
But every now and then I'll see one being used, you know, like even in airports and so forth, just a little kind of an artsy thing over here.
I see, yeah.
But I mean, they still sell the lava lamps out there if you can't have a lava without a good black light and black light poster. So
the most important thing is we have listeners, as you said, that are really listening, and we highly encourage you to please contact us. If you hear anything on the radio that you want more information on, or you have something to add to it, we're always looking for additional information, that's for sure.
Hey, coming up during this hour, we're going to talk about a range hood that's continually dripping water and what can you do. Also, repairing holes in vinyl siding. Can you install pavers over a concrete patio? We also have homeowners thinking about removing some vinyl siding. That, a simple solution, and a whole lot more right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers at all like the SoftSpa electronic bidet toilet seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And we're very happy to introduce a brand new station that's joining the Today's Homeowner Radio Network. This one's in Portsmouth, Ohio, WNXT 99.3 FM. Special hello to Chuck Greenslate. We appreciate you putting us on the air there, and we want to help all of you in and around that part of beautiful Ohio on any issue that you might be having around your home. You can pick up the phone and call us anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go right to the hotline and see if we can answer as many questions as we can this week. David is on the line. David, tell us about this range hood. I have heard this before from a few people, but it sounds like you're getting a steady drip all the time there.
Yes, Danny, I'm getting a steady drip. The house, bought the house 2007. Mm-hmm. It was built 2001, and ever since I've been here, I've never been able to resolve the issue of the hood vent dripping. It doesn't. It's not like it's raining. It's just the constant moisture that drips on the stove. I've gone up on the attic. I just had a new roof put on about a couple weeks back. Uh-huh. That didn't change anything. And I'm just, I've been beating my brains out trying to figure it out. And, I keep the house on around 69 degrees. We're down here in South Alabama. I don't even know how hot that is. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, obviously, the moisture is going up, into the vent, into the tube there. And then it's just dripping, slowly uh-huh. dripping out. And so I keep paper towels there to absorb the drip.
Right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So I'm having to change those out every day. So I go through a lot of paper towels.
Well, I tell you, it's amazing how much water can be created by condensation in a situation like that. So when you got in the attic, you saw where the vent pipe itself went straight from the range hood straight to the outside.
Yes, it goes straight through the roof. And I don't see moisture there. So it's got to be on the inside. Mm-hmm. Of that pipe.
What do you think on this, Joe? Do you think putting some of the duct wrap on the pipe itself would be enough to minimize that difference in temperature that's causing the condensation?
Yeah, that's exactly right, David. What I was going to ask you, when you were up in the attic, did you notice, is this duct, this vent duct, is it insulated at all? Or is it just, you're just seeing metal?
Yeah, I don't think there's insulation around it.
Well, I think that's where you have to start. Absolutely. There are a couple of different reasons, but vast majority of the time when a vent pipe is dripping water down through the range hood, it's because of condensation, as you discovered, is not on the outside, but on the inside. And
right.
So I would certainly start with that. As Danny suggested, you can get, there's different types of insulation for duct work. Since your duct's already in place, you want the type that can wrap around it. So you don't have to disconnect it to slide it over it, anything like that. And there's all different kinds. You go to Home Depot, you'll find a bunch of different insulation. And actually anything you put on it's going to be better than what you have now. So mm-hmm. I think that's the way to not only stop this from dripping down, but also you can greatly reduce your paper towel budget.
That's right, exactly.
And maybe spend that money on something else.
With the way the economy is today, those things cost more.
That's right. Everything, it all adds up. But yeah, I would definitely insulate those ducts, and you can't add too much insulation. Just be careful not to knock it out of whack when you're wrapping
it
up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes good sense to me. That sounds like the thing I need to do.
Yeah. Well, try that, David, and get back in touch with us. Let us know how that worked out.
Hey, well, thank you for that information.
Okay, David, we appreciate you being a part of the show this week, and make sure you have a great weekend. Thank you.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's exactly what Sam from Kentucky did. Says, my wife and I just bought a house where the previous owners had a lot of decorative stuff hanging on the walls around the patio. When we took it all down, we had dozens of holes in our vinyl siding. Is there any way to repair it without having to actually replace all of the siding? Well, Sam, there's a lot of different ways that I've seen people attempt that. And it's really hard to match the color unless you match what you use to fill those holes. And I'll tell you what I've done in the past is Tight Bond Weathermaster Sealant. It's available in over 200 colors. It'll match most popular siding colors regardless of what manufacturer, made the vinyl siding. And Weathermaster is designed to create a weatherproof seal around the windows and doors, but it's also ideal for a situation like this, holes in vinyl siding. You just squirt a little dollop into each hole in the siding, but don't wipe it down. Leave it and let it mound up a little bit on the hole. And then once the caulk is dry, use a razor blade to just shave the excess sealant off the flush with the siding surface, just like that. The hole will disappear, and it really does make a lot of sense, and a lot of different ways that you can use caulk that's available in 200 colors like this. So just head over to tightbond.com/weathermaster. Boy, Joe, I just used some of this on a little area on my camper the other day, and
right.
It has a lot of the properties of silicone, but it just still has the flexibility, and boy, it'll hold up really well, which is important when you have a motorhome, bumping up and down the road. You want something that's going to have a little flexibility.
Yeah, and what you discover from Sam's letter is, don't be drilling holes in your house if it's vinyl siding. You can maybe get away with it in wood siding, but vinyl siding, you definitely don't want to do it, because if you don't plug up those holes afterwards and water gets behind the siding, then you got to start, all kinds of trouble. And there are ways to hang stuff off of vinyl siding without having to drill holes in it. So thankfully, if you do have a hole, you can fix it with this Weathermaster sealant.
Here's one more email coming in. Deborah from California. I like this question for many reasons here. This is
okay. Pretty
neat. So think about this. I'd like to build a planter for succulents out of red bricks. Do I have to use mortar between the bricks, or can I just stack them up? I'm asking because I'm worried that the soil will seep out from behind the bricks and then the planter might fall down. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Well, Deborah, I'll tell you something that I have done many times, and it sounds almost too simplistic to be true, but it absolutely works, is to use a landscape adhesive or a paver adhesive. It's available at pavestone.com, quickcrete.com, tightbond.com, any of somebody that has a really good construction adhesive. Make sure the bricks are clean as well as dry, and just stack them up just like you would Lego blocks and glue everything together. Put them all together like that. You're going to want to let it dry a little while. And then I would suggest taking some of the same caulk and caulk on the inside any of the, big cracks that you can get the caulk in. The construction adhesive will help strengthen it a little bit and minimize the ability for that dirt to sift out of there. But then, while you have your construction adhesive, also get some landscape fabric. And landscape fabric, you can cut in pieces and glue it on the inside. It only takes just a few little dollops of the glue in order to hold it in place. And then you're ready for your soil. So, great way to do it. And if you're doing this inside, succulents don't require very much water at all. You shouldn't have any drainage issues on there, but you may want to put some type of plastic or metal pan under it, or inside could happen, just so that the water doesn't leak out. But Joe, there's so many people that have, leftover bricks and things like this. This is a great little project to do.
Yeah, and you're not mixing up, you have the mess of mixing mortar and learning how to spread mortar. And the only other thing I'd suggest for Deborah is when you, at the corners, overlap the corners, It kind of locks it together instead of just butting them up against each other. This way, that also will lock that corner together, so those walls won't separate. She doesn't say how high this wall is. If it's higher than a foot or two, you might need to, and it was outside, you might need to leave a couple of drainage holes down at the bottom just in case there's some pressure from the water, it would drain out just by leaving spaces between the brick. But I assume this is probably going to be relatively short. So yeah, using a construction adhesive is certainly the way to go.
Yeah. And you know, also with mortar, I mean, there's problems with mortar allowing moisture to migrate through.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, almost wick it out of the bottom there. But I think you'll find that'll be really successful. And what a great project. So we appreciate your email. And again, if you'd like to send us an email, we make it very easy. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with a homeowner that's about to tackle a patio project by putting pavers on top of an existing concrete slab. I've done it many times, and it looks awesome. All of that and a whole lot more coming up right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, there are all kinds of ways to add smart control to your home these days, but undoubtedly one of the easiest is to simply control an outlet from your phone. That's what the Defiant Wi-Fi and Bluetooth enabled smart plug allows you to do. You just plug it in and you're ready to control lights, fans, or other appliances through the HubSpace app. Now, what makes it even smarter is the fact that HubSpace also works with voice control systems like Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant. The app also allows you to preset on and off schedules so that you can make your house look lived in while you're away. And the plug's design keeps it from blocking the second outlet, something that can be very, very aggravating on other type of systems like this. So for more information on this Defiant 15-amp smart HubSpace Wi-Fi Bluetooth plug, log on to HomeDepot.com. Joe, sometimes you assume with a name that long, right? Yeah. And a device so small, none of us would ever be able to read that if they labeled that on the thing there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if they label it, it'd have to be a very big item. But I love that design that it doesn't block the second outlet, because too often you plug in something like a transformer.
I know it.
You can't. It completely blocks second outlet on the device, and you can't plug something else in.
And you know, because it's so large, and I can tell you it's not a good idea to take that and take it out to the shop and try to grind it down to where it just doesn't work.
I can make
as well.
This fit.
Yeah. Let's don't do that. But let's go to today's homeowner hotline right now. Tina is on the line. Tina, certainly glad you're being part of the show today, and I'm interested in hearing your idea on this patio.
Yes, I was wondering if I could use the paver base over top of a patio that was done, not smooth concrete, but more of the chunkiness in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your back, your doorway going out right there, do you have a little step down that goes down to the concrete now?
Yes.
Okay. But about how big is that, just approximately?
Oh, I would say it's actually two steps. So it's
kind of a small
little porch, and then a step down from it. So I don't know, maybe 18 inches or 24.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. I was just making sure it wasn't real tight. Sometimes when concrete's poured, they get it up really, really close to the threshold. And in doing that, it kind of limits your size that you have. Well, you can definitely use paver base and put it right down over the existing slab. You might want to put up some string so that you know exactly what level, how thick that you want it, because you want to get at least an inch that goes over that slab. And you might find that you have to go a couple inches here, an inch here, just to make sure things are, you don't necessarily want them level. You want it to slope away from the house slightly. But you can put that paver base down. You can use a hand tamp to tamp it all down. Sometimes dampening it with just a little bit of water, not much, allows it to pack even more. And you'll have an extremely successful paver job. And also, the other thing, since you won't be driving a vehicle over this, you can use the thin pavers that are only an inch and a half to 2 inches thick. That's less expensive, easier to use, and it'll look just as good.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, great.
The only thing I can warn you about a little bit is on paver base, it's a recycled product, and I've used it in different projects we've done on different areas of the United States, and it's funny how it does vary quite a bit. Sometimes the rocks will be a little bit bigger than others. You're going to want the type that's that's really, so you can kind of look at the bag and see if it's more of a sandy type of finish on it.
Tina, the other question I had that I actually might be for Danny is, I'm not sure, would she need to put some kind of border around this? Because what's keeping the paver base and the new pavers from kind of sliding off the existing slab?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it depends. One of the projects that we did with the Pavestone team, they actually used a larger paver, a thicker paver for the perimeter. And they it was very innovative, very similar situation like you're speaking about, Tina, that they basically just glued with construction adhesive these thicker border pieces all the way around. It created a form that then retained the paver base, and then you ended up with your new pavers up level with the top of the perimeter paver. So
that's a good solution.
Made for not only a good solution, it's a fantastic look to have that border effect around the patio.
And Tina, you have the advantage of having a step down of two steps, which is probably going to be, 13 to 14 inches. So you have plenty of room to as far as the thickness of the material you put down, and then maybe you only have one step when you're done.
That's wonderful. I'm excited to kind of get started on this project.
Good. Well, we'll just go crank the car, throw a blanket in the back there so that you can put all the pavers in and start bringing the paver and the paver base and get started this afternoon. Why not?
Well, that sounds good. I'll wait until the heat kind of goes away here.
That makes sense. Well, good. An exciting project, and best of luck on it. We're here. If you run into any snags, just let us know. Glad to guide you through it. And you're going to love that patio. It's a perfect time of the year for it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a great weekend. We'll see you again. That's always cool when someone's tackling a nice project like that. Let's grab another email here really quick.
Right.
We're on a roll this week. We've got a lot of things happening. This one's coming in from Sue in Alabama. How can I get rid of Asiatic jasmine that's taking over our yard? It has spread in from the neighbors on each side of us. Pulling it up is a never-ending task, and we've really gotten too old to deal with it. Well, you don't have to be very old to get tired of battling the jasmine. And, Joe, I don't know if y'all have much of that up in the Northeast, but it's certainly a wonderful ground cover. It can, run up fencing. It can do a lot of things, but it is pretty invasive. So, it's hard to know exactly. I mean, I know personally, we just kept cutting it right at the beds and just had to know that you're on a regular basis with your string trimmer. You get it controlled one time, then you can control it with the string trimmer. But any other suggestions for Sue on that? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Asiatic jasmine is a perennial evergreen vine, actually, and it's people like it because it does spread like that. But if you don't want it on your yard, you can keep cutting it back and pulling it, but like you said, that's like an ongoing thing. And unfortunately, I think we don't often recommend spraying herbicides unless you have to, but this might be the case where you're going to cut it back as far as you can, then spray with the herbicide. If you don't want to do that, you can try vinegar first. Just spray it with white vinegar. If you step up to a home and garden variety of vinegar, it's much more acidic as opposed to standard white vinegar that you might use in a kitchen. So I think that's what I would do. Spray it with the white vinegar first. If that doesn't work, move up to the herbicide.
Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about vinyl siding again. Earlier, we talked about damaged vinyl siding. We have a homeowner that's considering removing the vinyl siding and trying to work with what's under the siding. Coming up on that and a whole lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. When your house needs a new roof, it's important to make a good investment. The roof is literally your home's first line of defense against the elements, so you want something that's durable, low maintenance, long-lasting, and protects your home from strong winds, hail, and even wildfire. You want a quality metal roof because it performs as beautifully as it looks. The Metal Roofing Alliance can help you find the metal roof that's right for you. Check out their free Metal Roofing Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com. If you're looking for a simple, inexpensive way to upgrade your kitchen, try the new LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit from Deitch Coatings. It's an easy four-step process that you can do yourself to give your counters authentic granite elegance in just a weekend. And because it's formulated with real stone, this revolutionary product resists stains, heat, and impact to deliver a high-end appearance with smooth richness that rivals a professional granite installation at a fraction of the cost. Find LuxRock online at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
To help you survive the hottest season of the year, Today's Homeowner and American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning are kicking off Keep Your Cool Week. It's time to give your air conditioner some TLC, and we've got the expertise and advice you need. We've put together a collection of our best how-to videos, simple solutions, and insider tricks to keep your home cool and your energy bill in check all summer long. Head on over to todayshomeowner.com/keepyourcool and check it out today.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I want to encourage you to head over to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter right now. We're getting so many compliments on it. We had somebody the other day write in and said, "You must be reading my mind, because every time I get your newsletter, it's exactly something I've been thinking about doing at my house. It's almost eerie." So, well, we don't read any minds, but we do know what people are really looking for right now, and we include that. All of that in our newsletter. Doesn't cost you a thing. Very easy to sign up. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. We encourage you to do that today. Right now, we're going to head back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. I want to remind you that is 800-946-4420. And right now, Donnie Hall is on the line from Georgia. Donnie, welcome to the show. And you got a project in mind. Share it with us.
Yeah, thanks for the call. We have reverse board and batten on the original siding of our house. We built it in the late 70s. And like a lot of people in the mid-80s, we had vinyl siding put on. So we're kind of tired of the particular color and the siding. We were either contemplating either painting the vinyl siding or taking it off and repainting the reverse board and batten. But taking the vinyl siding off and doing that, we were concerned about all the nail holes from the strips that hold the vinyl siding on. So I don't know. I don't know if you can paint vinyl siding, or, you know, if that's even an option.
Well, you can. And this is an interesting question, because, you know, some of the things you need to contemplate. First of all, you already realize you're going to be dealing with a lot of nail holes. Now, that's not necessarily, you know, something that you should, you know, use as the thing that says, no, I'm not doing it. Because even though it will be a little meticulous to go with some water putty or epoxy or something and go along and patch all of those, I would guess that reverse board and batten has kind of a rough texture on it. I wouldn't think it would be any kind of smooth material.
No, it is. It is a rough texture.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's even better in terms of hiding, you know, hiding those little spots there. You want to, you know, be conscious of the texture of the wood if you do that. But the thing that I would be questioning is, why did they put the siding on there anyway? Were they tired of the painting that is inevitable when you have wood siding? Or is there some rotten places here and there, or some mismatched? Sometimes people move windows around or doors around, and then they put vinyl siding over it to, you know, camouflage it, which is nothing wrong with it at all. So that would be kind of a mystery that you'd have to think about from that standpoint. But Joe, we've talked about the painting the vinyl siding quite a bit. What would you say to Donnie in terms of the pros and cons of painting vinyl siding?
Yeah, Donnie, we often have a listener who calls in and the answer is very clear what to say. In this case, I'm not really sure what to tell you. Can you paint vinyl siding? Absolutely. First, you have to clean it really well and get it as clean as possible, especially move any chalkiness that might be on the surface. Prep it as well as you can, and then you want to use 100% acrylic latex house paint, the very best you can afford, because it'll expand and contract with the siding, which, as you know, vinyl siding moves quite a bit. And okay, so now you got vinyl siding, which was put on the house in the first place, so you wouldn't have to paint it, and now you've painted it. So now, of course, you're going to have to maintain that surface. But is that, if it's just the color that you're concerned with, the color, your present color of your house, that would solve that problem, right? Because you can paint it almost any color, nothing too dark. It'd have to be a lighter color, because dark colors on vinyl siding make it expand and contract even more. So you'd have to have a relatively lighter color, probably no darker than what the color is now. But that would be a lot less work, I think, than removing it all. And then you probably might have some insulation behind it, so that would have to go away. And then, as Danny said, now what are you exposing? And how much work is going to take to get that board and batten into good shape? How many of those battens are going to have to replace and everything else? So without seeing what's underneath it, I think I might, if it's just the color that you're concerned with, I think I might try painting it.
Okay. We actually built the house, and really we put the vinyl siding on because of the painting issue. The reverse board and batten, nothing was wrong with it. We just went with the vinyl. You know, that was the thing in the mid-'80s.
Sure.
Of course, you were limited. There was only like two or three colors you could choose from back then.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, we're even thinking about even just tearing the vinyl siding off and putting hardy board over what we've got. You know, it's just we're tired of this color. It's faded really bad over the years. I mean, it's been on there for over 25 years now. And so we weren't sure, you know, if we tore it off and exposed how much, you know, I guess, filling in the nail holes, how big an issue that would be.
Well, hardy board would require paint as well, but it holds paint really well, and there is board and batten hardy board.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of options there. One little thing to think about is just get 1 gallon of paint and paint just one small out-of-the-way section of the vinyl siding and just look at it. You'll know right away, and you're not investing a lot of time or money, you'll know right away if you want the rest of the house to look that way, or if not, then you've only sacrificed 1 gallon of paint in a couple hours, then you can tear it down and move forward with that. So certainly wish you the best on all of that, Donnie, and either way, a fair amount of work. But as Joe said, that hardy board or the fiber cement siding is phenomenal. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, it's Simple Solution Time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep the bugs out and let the fresh air in with Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door. It's a quick, affordable solution for outdoor living spaces. The durable mesh is easily installed and can be attached to the inside or the outside of your existing door frame with no tools needed. It works on single or sliding doors, and the magnetic closures make it easy to walk through when your hands are full. Learn more about Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door at duckbrand.com.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast.
With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit homedepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
Hey, this is the time that so many people look forward to during the show is when Joe Truini brings up another simple solution. Joe, what do you have this week?
All right, Dan, here's another painting tip, but it's not about actually applying the paint. It's prep work before you even start painting. When you bring home a fresh new gallon of paint, right, it's freshly shaken, you get it from the store and they shake it up for you, bring it home. Immediately, I've been doing this for years and it works great. As soon as you get home, even if you're not about to start painting right then and there, carefully pry off the lid and clean the paint from the underside of the lid. I usually just use a putty knife and scrape it off right into the can. Then with a slightly dampened rag, I clean the lid. The underside will get as clean as you can. Because if you don't, what happens is that those little paint drips will eventually harden. They'll drip into the paint. And it makes a mess every time you open it up. It drips down the lid. So clean that really well. And when you're done, then put the lid back on. But before you do, put a piece of wax paper or plastic wrap over the can before tapping on the lid. And that'll seal out air and protect any crusty bits of paint from falling back in, and then store it away. And if you do that every time, you'll never get paint on the underside of the lid, and you'll avoid all those problems that come with it. Not only is it easier and neater when you pull off the lid, but again, you won't have those dried chips falling off into the paint can itself.
Now, Joe, years ago, we might have said, that's just too much trouble. It's just paint. just get you some more paint. But nowadays, you make that investment in that gallon of paint, sometimes you have to pay in installments. You know, you put it on layaway. You know, you put a little money down.
They're going to start selling it in like 3-ounce cans.
I know. I mean,
it's crazy. It's like $60 for interior paint. Some interior paint's over $60 a gallon.
So that makes a lot of sense with Joe sharing some of these painting tips. And, you know, I'll tell you what, painting tips are one of the most popular. You know, paint like the pros to painting That's tips right. from the pros. There are a lot of simple solutions that will help make your next paint job go a lot easier, and always encourage you to head to todayshomeowner.com/simple solution to be able to see over 550 video versions of the simple solutions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A vast majority of the simple solutions, probably the most popular out of the 550 or so, certainly have to do with painting for obvious reasons. A lot of people can do that themselves. And maybe we should do like a top 10 painting simple solution list here on the radio.
I think that'd be great.
Would that be cool?
Really good.
Yeah. So get to work on that. Oh, well, I guess that would be my job.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what we can do on that, and we'd love to do that. We'll make that happen. Our engineer is already taking notes over there. We could do the top 10 painting tips and have all of the videos that correspond with it queued up there right on the todayshomeowner.com/radio page, and then you actually can see exactly what Joe and I are talking about. Now, most of these tips I've developed over the years and have...
And has been kind enough to share with me.
No, I can't do that anymore. I can't even get through that little fib without laughing. And I'm afraid lightning's going to come through the window and strike me.
I've gotten several simple solutions from you. That certainly has been the case.
Hey, I've got one for you right now.
All right.
A friend of mine works in a nursery. He comes home every day. He says, my feet's always wet. I've tried fans. I've tried everything. Now I take the boots. I lay them on the ground in front of the refrigerator. The door of the refrigerator opens over it, But the fan and the passive little fan that's underneath the thing there and a tiny bit of heat dries them out without drying them too quickly, where they will get, you know, real rough and hard to put on. And he says he's been doing that for 30 years. So
really? He lays his wet boots in front of the refrigerator.
Yeah, you turn it up on the side. Yeah, turn it up on the side and just kind of just tuck them under there. And, you know, little by little it dries out. I saw that the other day. Actually, I was doing it the other day because it was raining outside. I couldn't put my little water shoes out there. And I just put them underneath the refrigerator. And, you know, Sharon tripped over them a couple times. I picked her up, said, hey, my shoes are dry. Just relax.
I was wondering, how long did Sharon let you leave your wet, dirty boots in the front of the refrigerator?
Hey, that's going to wrap up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you were able to spend some time with us. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks a lot for spending this hour with us here on today's Homeowner Radio.